You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
We're still all in. If this didn't happen, if Cleveland was not ready to do it, we were going to continue to monitor. And listen, we still got a few weeks for the deadline. If we feel there's something else that we need or can help us get over the top, we have been all in all along.
Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean there on the Pat McAfee show. That was just about an hour or so before we actually spoke with the media. I do love when he does the Pat McAfee show. Bean, I think, is somebody that does want to be very honest with you when he's talking, but can't. Because of the nature of his job. And when he goes on McAfee, he jokes a little bit more. You even saw there, like, he's kind of like, you know, he's a little bit more laissez-faire in terms of the information he's going to give you. And you know, I think it's also GM speak, like, to let all the other GMs know, like, hey, you know, our phones are not turned off. They are charged. Like, we're ready to go.
Our phones, in fact, work.
But I think also reality, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills were willing to wheel and deal a little bit more. Sal's brought it up, and I know he's tweeted it out. They have potentially 10 draft picks coming up in this next draft. They're going to have more cap space open up in this next window as well. So
that's the hardest part right now. That's probably, I mean, they talked about it. That's probably why this was labeled a transition year. It's how little cap space they have kind of limits what they can do in season.
Yep, and it's like, all right, we have the team now. This is what we're going to work with now. But ultimately, they go 4-2, had some clear weaknesses that they could figure out. I mean, the Amari Cooper thing sort of falls in their lap. Mm-hmm. Our last caller, too, brought up. I mean, they get him for, you know, a bag of pucks. I fully agree with that analogy.
Right.
Because you're paying him $800,000 and
less than that.
Yeah, a little bit less than that. And ultimately, it's a third-round pick in which you have 2 twos and potentially 3 fours in next year's draft. So you're sitting there going, like, okay, we're fine. We're still going to take the exact same amount of players.
Oh no!
It
is $800,000. I thought it was less than that, but still.
But so, like, ultimately, like, and they're sitting there going, "Cool." And he adds exactly what we need. And I don't think this should be ignored. Everything I've heard from Amari Cooper speaking yesterday, and everything I've heard from his teammates, he potentially fits more in the locker room of what the Bills want than maybe Diggs did at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know if he fits on field as well as Diggs did, although, you know, talking with Sal before the season even started, I kind of had the question of, does current Diggs fit what the Bills want to do? I think Amari Cooper fits closer to that. We'll find out. I think, though, a really big thing is he maybe fits the personality far more for the Bills.
Right, like
now,
the vibes of just, like, super...
The vibes.
Not necessarily chill, but, like, just... Okay, it might sound weird and cliche, but togetherness,
like, maybe not nearly as intense as Diggs,
right.
Which
you
I don't
want
to say it's a bad, and I don't want to say it's a bad thing,
right?
But you can see that maybe drove some teammates insane,
right? Because you want intensity, and you see the intensity from a lot of guys, including like Josh Allen,
and he was a captain, so like the team did respect him, obviously,
yeah, and you know, like I said, like you see Allen get intense all the time. Look what he did to the celebration after getting that first down against the Jets, at the end of the game. It's like, these guys are intense, but Diggs is that next level, which, like you said, is not a bad thing. But it's if most of your team is not like that, it can be kind of tough. And it is tough to like put those players into certain locker rooms, because if you have a full locker room of all of those guys and then just get mad at each other the whole time, you know, because if you're all, you know, jacked up and intense, it can lead to other problems. But
I think, too, that there's maybe an argument to be had that the Bills were wound up too tight.
Yeah, everyone's so...
That past postseason failures and stuff like that really did kind of just wear at the team. And this is why age two playing into it, but also was a good year for the transition of, okay, these guys
calm down a little bit.
Yeah, these guys didn't get it done. We'll do this now.
Comparison to the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Like, I remember we came up with that last year and, you know, maybe even a couple years ago, but... You know, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Bills can be very similar in terms of talent and success and everything in that sense of you know, just not being able to get it done in the postseason, but being great in the regular season.
Yeah.
That feeling is just, it's there for both teams. And you know, we haven't really seen the Leafs take this step of like, okay, let's back off and like, you know, no expectations. Let's just go out there and play. The Bills are doing that this year. That's kind of what this year in transition was supposed to be. And so far it's worked out okay. And now they have a player that kind of fits that exact vibe of, yeah, there's no real expectations. Just go out there and do your thing.
Yep, I'm very, very excited to see what he can do. And I am keeping my expectations tempered, especially for this Sunday. I think at best he's going to be in a limited role. That limited role, though, again, could be one of those things of like, hey, I know you don't know the playbook, but like you're going to run a slant here. You're going to run across.
Right.
You know, what have you.
Wouldn't it be great, though, if he just gets like two plays and scores a touchdown? Like,
he's got that ability,
Could you imagine he goes in there and just tears it up in
he
like
He has got that
snaps.
Ability. He really does. Like I could see something though where it's just like, hey, you're gonna run a streak here and just like I'm gonna send it up.
One target, 65 yards, touchdown. Like could you imagine? Like I think the excitement's also there because you know that he's that field stretching type that they haven't had this year. Mm-hmm. And I think we're all realizing, you know, take your opinion on Diggs as you will, whether you liked him, whether you didn't like him, you're glad he's gone, you're sad he's gone. We all kind of miss those big plays that he used to be able to make.
I am so glad. And Allen has to hit these. Again, I'm going to make sure to reiterate this point so people don't think I'm being easy on him. He has got to hit some of these deep throws.
Yeah.
But I am glad it's not Mac Hollins trying to or right. It's expected now. Mac Hollins is not going to be the guy tracking these passes. Because, man, and Jeremy and Joe brought up the stat today, too, of just how many targets he had compared to catches. And it is... upsetting.
What wasn't it, like 17 targets?
Yeah.
Or something like that, and only 7 catches?
Yeah.
A catch a game is not great.
And he is having, like, his, in terms of success rate, his worst year of his career. And that's, again, you know, I'm texting my buddy now, too, because he goes, all right, hear me out. What about Zay Jones or Darius Slayton? Like, and add another guy? And I told him just straight up, I'm like, honestly, dude, whatever means that, like, Mac Hollins can go to a more, like, Mac Hollins role.
Right, because if he had 7 catches...
Whatever that is.
If he had 7 catches through 7 games and only, like...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
10 targets.
You're happy.
That's kind of what you're expecting him to be. Is this,
but right now it's 19 targets to 7 catches.
19.
It's his worst catch percentage at 36.8 in terms of success. I want to see, can I find it here? Or I cannot. But I mean, the catch percentage, though, was 36.8. But this is something I was bringing up, though, over their two losses, where he had 12 targets and was, I think, leading the team at the time in targets and had 3 catches. I'm like, this can't be happening. This is why your offense is going into a shell. You've got a guy who, at best, is a wide receiver 4, but you really like him. He gives kind of like he's got the size stuff. We've seen in the red zone. He's got 2 touchdowns. Like, that hasn't been really a problem. But in terms of being the field stretcher, in terms of being a guy that can lead your team in targets on a given day, it's not good by any stretch of the imagination. And then it kind of went down against New York. He only had 2. 1 catch, it ultimately is a touchdown. This can put him more in that role of, I think his best day was against Arizona in the first week, where he had 2 targets, 2 catches, 25 yards, and a touchdown. That is maybe the perfect bit for Mac Hollins. He's not being targeted a ton, but when he is, he's able to catch it. They're not putting him in a role he's not used for or not used to or not even good at, and they can get more out of it. That, to me, is my favorite bit of the Amari Cooper thing. I think it allows everyone to go into roles they're more comfortable or more suited to. I've used the phrasing of just move everyone down a peg, and it's going to be what it is. Keon Coleman now doesn't have to run every single snap outside. He can be used as a slot because everybody that was covering the draft said, yeah, I mean, he might be able to develop into an outside wide receiver.
He's just a big slot.
But he's going to start his career out as a big slot. And to be fair, looking back, you know, alarm bell should have been going off. And I think it was for some people, me not so much. But alarm bell should have been going off that when Brandon Bean spoke, like, immediately after the draft, he said, oh, he's going to be an X. Like, I mean, that was a little, like, looking back now, it's a little concerning. He's a guy that is coming around, but much more slowly than I think they were hoping for.
Well, and I wonder, too, like, if this is the case where he gets pushed inside now and he's just more of a slot player, I think that might be better for if in the future, if they want to use him as an X, this right here could be, hey, get your feet under you, go catch the ball, get some receptions, just get used to the NFL game, and then we'll try you outside next year, or we'll sprinkle you in towards the end of the season or something like that. Like, because not only is he just have time and the expectations are off, you can just go do what you're used to doing. Right? Like, that's what he used to do in college is what he can do now in the NFL, potentially.
Yeah.
And he can also learn from a guy like Amari Cooper. He's 30 years old. He's been in the league for 10 years.
And one of the best route runners in the sport. Right. His separation stats, I saw Jeremy tweet this out or retweet it, is the best of his career up to this point.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing, too, that, like, if you can start, because you're a huge advocate for this. I am, too, but you're very vocal on it because you're a draft nerd. If they could start drafting younger players and then utilize that cap to keep a guy like Amari Cooper around and have him not only be a part of the team, but also just be a mentor to these young players coming in.
And never let the cupboard get dry or empty
or
anything.
Right, exactly. But a guy like Amari Cooper who can have the same sort of style as Diggs, but be a lot less intense and a lot more, you know, open to things, if that's the sense, in terms of doesn't come off as intimidating, because that intense style can come off as intimidating if you're a rookie coming into the NFL, and
it can wear on you too. I mean,
right,
you could just,
exactly. So I'm just looking at it in the long term of if you get a guy like Cooper, or you keep Cooper around and have him here with younger players, even Shakir can benefit.
Mm-hmm.
He's not necessarily a young player, but he's only been here 2 years really. And
yeah,
you know, I look at the off field benefits too, on top of what he can do on the field with Allen, you know, being able to stretch the field a little bit or just take attention away from guys.
Let's go back to the phones here. We've got Adam on the line. Adam, how are we doing today?
Bad guys. How are we doing today? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Just wanted to pick your brain about what your projections are for what we're looking at for Cooper this weekend. I would expect him to be on the field quite a bit, as well as getting the ball thrown his way a lot. It seemed like our head coach, when asked about, you know, what to expect about him, was kind of downplaying it and talking, you know, wanting to talk more about the guys that are already here. And that concerns me, because is this going to be one of these things where we kind of, like, ease them into the playbook and, you know, wait for this to evolve? Like, let's get it going now. This is football. At the end of the day, like, the route tree doesn't change regardless of what team you go to. Sure, the playbook is different. But just looking for your feedback in terms of what you guys think he's going to produce this weekend. Thanks.
Yeah. Adam, thanks for the call, man. I will say, though, on that point, because I think it has been brought up a lot of McDermott being very quick to praise really anyone on the team. And that's why it was noticeable that him and Bean didn't do that for Bass. I think that was a big part. Sal brought it up as well, of Bean being very honest in his assessment of Bass. I think that's just their style. They want to make sure that, like, they never really step in it. McDermott has been somebody that has done so before, and so I think he is being very careful to not do so again. I will say, though, Amari Cooper was also pretty quick to kind of not, you know, say I'm being shelved this week or anything like that. But he made sure to bring up that, like, well, you know, last time this go around I was trading in season, there was a bye week. And then I was able to play.
Bills bye week is until week 12.
Yeah, you get 5 days.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Hey, good luck.
Now, I think you're absolutely right to bring up that a route tree is a route tree, and you can kind of figure it out. I think that's how he's going to kind of be used, though, is like in the huddle, he's going to call a play and then look at Amari and go, okay, this is what you're doing.
Yeah, right. Because everyone else kind of knows what they're doing, or they should anyway. But I look at, you know, I brought it up earlier. He is coming from Ken Dorsey as the offensive coordinator. And I know Dorsey and Brady are different people, but
potentially the verbiage is the same.
The offense might be kind of similar or have similar notes. So you never know there with in terms of you know how coordinators operate. I mean, looking at this so far under Brady, it's a much different offense than Ken Dorsey was. I mean, Dorsey it looked like, hey, just everyone run down the field and Allen's going to throw it to somebody. Like that's how it always felt, and that's why he's not the coordinator here anymore. And that's also why he doesn't call plays in Cleveland, I think. But I look at the two coordinators that were together here, and I wonder how much similarities there are. And
Adam Henry, the wide receiver coach, also a former coach for Cooper as well. That's the big connection.
I didn't know that.
So that one should be good. I will say, though, in terms of just the production, I would love if he had this stat line. 8 targets, 5 catches, 58 yards, and a touchdown. That was his first game for Dallas after being traded from then the Oakland Raiders. If he gave me that in his first game with the Bills after 5 days, I'd be ecstatic.
If he gave me that next week,
I'd be happy with that.
Insane.
That's a little over 10 yards, a little over 10 yards per catch. Got me a touchdown, and the success rate was up.
Yeah,
don't drop a pass on your first game. I'd be happy. I'm not expecting a ton against Tennessee. Seattle is much more the game the following game is much more the one that I'm looking at of like, okay, this is when I want to see Amari Cooper 100% full go. He's now part of this and we're moving forward. Also, real quick, want to bring this up on McDermott and Bean. They were both very excited to say that like this got done when it did compared to the Douglas trade, which was like at the deadline. And everyone, including Douglas, brought up how like really the rest of the season he was kind of just moving on instincts and vets telling him where to go. This will allow Cooper to actually be integrated into the offense, and then it's a go. And so I for me at least, it's alleviating some of my fears that I know Adam had there, where is McDermott just going to slow play this to the point where it's, why did we even do this? 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here until 12 o'clock. You'll listen to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.